Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues, etc. journal. Christians, they pray about everything. They had a recent question as to whether they could pray for their team to win the World Series. The answer is, yeah, it's whatever you worry about, whatever you're concerned about, take that in prayer. Always understand that you have the promise of God regarding some things, and God has simply not given you a promise with regard to other things. Big things like elections as well. Christians were praying for one outcome or the other. Or, like our guest Pastor Hans Feeney, they were praying that he'd be spared all of this, that Christ would keep his promise to come again. Many Christians were praying for that one as well. Kind of the Christian version of the giant meteor, except it doesn't destroy the earth completely. It is a resurrection of heaven and earth. We're going to talk about post-election prayers on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 15th, 1 week out from a pivotal election. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled Four Things to Pray For Now That the Election is Over. Hans, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I don't think any pastor avoided at least some conversation about the election this last Sunday morning. Somebody said something about it. What was your standard pastoral response? How did you thread the needle there?
Well, I think there are kind of a few points I tried to talk with people about. The first was always not letting this election, because I think this election was unique from at least most in my lifetime, if not more so than all of them, in that it was very much motivated by a lot of hatred and a lot of anger. And so it was kind of more an election about we're voting against this other person we can't stand and this person that we think is terrible rather than voting for the person that we think is fantastic and wonderful. What I would talk about was just sort of this idea of, you know, when God gives you earthly governments, you don't always know what you're going to get, and you don't always know what God is necessarily trying to accomplish with that. So when you vote, you know, don't blame the world for your problems. When you look at the things in your life that have happened and have made your life more difficult, recognize your own sins, your own failings that have oftentimes brought these things along. And so when you consider who to vote for, both on federal and state level and things of this nature, and on the local level as well, be motivated, you know, repent of your own sins, recognize your own failings, and vote in a way where you're seeking to elect those that you think will do the best job of serving and supporting and protecting your neighbor, rather than voting in such a way that you're going to kind of sick people on those you've identified as your enemies.
Okay. It's always important to pray, and sometimes it's, well, we prayed, it didn't come out our way. So on Sunday morning, we're going to get together and we'll still do our theological and civic duty and pray for the president, whoever it may be. Many Christians do this, but there's more to it than that, isn't there, Hans?
Well, sure, yeah. It's, you know, a lot of this whole concept is, you know, there are things that we can pray for that we can be certain of, that God's certainly going to answer, whether in this life or the life to come. And then there are things, because these things are the will of God, you know, so when we pray for God's kingdom to come, now, when we pray, you know, for him to forgive our trespasses, for him to give us, you know, victory over the sorrows and sicknesses and the temptations and sins of this world, we know that God will, if not immediately, certainly eventually, answer those prayers. And then you have prayers that are perhaps a bit more specific and things that aren't necessarily the will of God. You know, so you're dealing with, you know, who's going to win this election? Will a certain specific piece of legislation passed or things of this nature. So that kind of puts us into the category where you're praying for things that are definitively the will of God and then things that might be the will of God but are definitely your will. And And it's oftentimes, I think, when people find the most despair and when they're the most brokenhearted, it's oftentimes, I think, more so when they're praying the let my will be done rather than the let thy will be done type prayers.
So what you're going to suggest to us by way of post-election prayers here are not in the category of, well, maybe it's God's will. These are things that God has commanded us to pray for already because it is his will, very clearly
right.
His will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So these are things that that are a part of God giving us the good gifts that he's promised to give us. And so one of the things God wants to do when he tells us that he's going to give us things is for us to ask for those things, not only to strengthen our own faith, but so that he may show that he is a God who is a loving Father who keeps his promises.
You begin with praying for the president himself. Why is this so important for Christians to do?
Well, it's important for Christians to do because we recognize that we are ultimately citizens of Christ's kingdom. We are co-heirs of that kingdom. We are brothers of Christ. We are sons of our Father in heaven. And so we certainly are good and faithful citizens. We pay our taxes. We're good neighbors. We obey the law of the land. But we have to kind of recognize that that in this fallen world, there's going to be a lot of difficulty and struggle and strife with our earthly governments. But God has still instituted these things. So so while in one sense Christians don't need them because we don't need the threat of the sword to lead us to live godly lives in service of our neighbor, there are many people who do. And for that reason, God will he will use imperfect and sinful people in order to accomplish his goal of preserving an orderly and peaceful and quiet life for each other. And so that's kind of precisely what it is that we are praying for. So when we pray for the president, it's not a matter of saying, well, we like this guy, so we want to pray for him. You know, it's not like, you know, when a friend of yours tells you she's having some problems about X, Y, and Z, and you go, oh, well, I love this person, so I'll pray for her. But rather, we do this because President-elect Trump will be fulfilling an office that God has instituted in a general sense. God hasn't necessarily instituted the office of president, so it's not as though nations have to have a president. But he has instituted earthly governments. President-elect Trump is going to be a part of that. And for that reason, we need to pray that he would carry out his duties in faithfulness to God's word, especially since certainly the attacks of the devil have, historically speaking, always been profoundly successful concerning those who are in power. That one of the great ways to spread discord and strife and pain and suffering in the world is to accomplish that through the hands of those who have a tremendous amount of power over people through government.
So what kind of things do we ask God with respect to the president-elect?
Well, we have those words obviously from 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, which I think is really a beautiful description of what it is as Christians that we're praying for. We're basically praying that our government would essentially just stay out of our way and leave us alone to carry out our lives in faithfulness to God's word. Unfortunately, sometimes we need more intervention than that. We live in a sinful world where people need that. But Paul is essentially assuming here that, sort of speaking to the new man, Christians don't need the government in the sense that we need someone to threaten to kill us if we're murderous or hateful or these things. Rather, there is the presumption that motivated by faith in Christ, Christians are simply going to be faithful neighbors. They're going to serve their neighbors. They're going to serve their God in faithfulness. And so really the job of our earthly authorities is to just enable us to continue doing that, to not inhibit us from doing that, to not persecute us, and also to keep us safe from our enemies and the people who would prevent us from doing those things, the people who would prevent us from being able to lead peaceful lives where we're just kind of minding our own businesses, praying for people, being good, faithful neighbors, caring for the poor, feeding the hungry, these types of things.
So there's some tension here because we do hear, and sometimes it's just in sheer frustration, fellow Christians say, for instance, Donald Trump, well, he's not my president. Or they said it about Barack Obama. They may have said it about Hillary Clinton had she been elected. Right. Not my president. Can a Christian really say such a thing?
Well, no, it's just, I mean, it's just sort of silly. It's because the point is that you are, as a citizen of this nation, you are under the government. I mean, this is a very simple, fundamental teaching of the Christian faith, that you do have duties as citizens, that you are to obey your earthly leaders and submit to your earthly authorities, because God has instituted these offices. It's you know, kind of just a few steps removed from the family. It would be like someone say, you know, it'd be like a child saying, "Well, I, that guy's not my father because I don't like the decisions that he's making." Well, does he have the office that God instituted? Did he have the office of father that God gave to him? Well, if he has that office, then sorry, kid, that's your dad. And it's you know, this is the same thing with our government. So to have a president doesn't mean that you claim that it's not like saying, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend. There's not some kind of emotional component tied in with this. It's just an objective question. Has God instituted earthly governments? Do you live under an earthly government? According to the laws of your earthly government, is this person your president? And the answer to all of those things is yes. So it doesn't mean that you have to be thrilled about it. It doesn't mean that you have to, and in particular in a government where you have the vote, doesn't mean that anyone will need to vote for President-elect Trump in 2020. It just simply means that this is what God has instituted, and you have duties as a citizen to recognize that and to give honor and respect where those things are due.
One quick question before we take our break here, Hans, and that is, at times, I spoke earlier about that tension. Sometimes when our leaders, our presidents, the other elected officials, act contrary to God's will, that prayer can take the form, at least implicitly, of praying against what that person may, in fact, want to do. When we ask them to be given wisdom by God, that they might protect us and we can live peacefully, sometimes we don't think they're the wisest person in the world. They need that wisdom from God. Talk about that briefly.
Yeah, well, I think there's sort of a sense here, and it's kind of like the question I think that's sort of a big issue today is people have a hard time understanding the concept of loyalty. You know, what does it mean to be loyal to someone? Because you know, particularly, you know, if you have friends who, you know, who divorced their spouses or something like that, and they want you to be loyal to them, so there's this question of how do you be loyal. And I think the reality is that when you pledge loyalty to people, you're in a theological sense, you're pledging loyalty to the new man. You're pledging loyalty to the one who said, "I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do what it is that God has asked of me." So when the old man kind of rears his ugly head and kind of takes control of things, you say, "Well, that's not the person I was pledging my loyalty to. I'm pledging my loyalty to the new man." So yeah, so when you have earthly leaders who turn away from God's word, who advocate policies that are contrary to God's word, you are in fact being loyal to them when you call them to account for that, when you say that this is a violation of what it is that you swore you would do, even if you don't realize it.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on post-election prayers. The next thing that Pastor Feeney says we need to continue to pray for is that we may love God with all our heart. Why is that important? It's Tuesday afternoon, November the 15th. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest, senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled, Four Things to Pray For Now That the Election is Over. Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Core.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilker. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about post-election prayers. The next thing you say that we ought to continue to pray for is that we may love God with all our heart. Why?
Well, I mean, obviously the simple answer is because that's what God said to do. So loving God is better than not loving God, in particular if you're not a fond of being consumed by the wrath of God. But kind of obviously more specifically to the point, When our fear, love, and trust are aimed in different directions, that's obviously where idolatry creeps in. And in particular, as I kind of describe in the article, Luther's Small Catechism is, I think, so great in this regard by kind of tying fear, love, and trust together, because people have a tendency to say that they love God even while their fear and their trust say otherwise. So if you look at where those sort of, I guess, aspects of faith or whatever you would call them, where those are directed, that's generally where you can find people's idols. I think this has been something that's been made really, really clear since President-elect Trump won, is that just the immense amount of despair and hysteria and fright coming from large circles in the country and, I suppose, throughout the world. As you just sort of look at this, and it seems as though for a lot of people, their fear and their trust were very much aimed in the direction of government. And as long as they trusted that the government was on their side, as long as it seemed that their political enemies were kept at bay and their fear was sort of in check because those folks were in check, then they were fine. And then all of a sudden when someone who frightens them gains office, all bets are off. And it's hard to look at this and to see that and to understand how it is that people who could respond with that degree of worry could actually believe that the wrath of God is something to be feared even more so, and that if you're afraid of a guy holding office, you should be far more terrified of the one who has instituted that office, or rather who's instituted the earthly government that's kind of formed into that office. So when we place our love and our fear and our trust in these other directions, this is where idolatry comes about. And I think historically speaking, in particular, if you look at the communist movements and things of this nature, when those idols begin to take the place of God, they will seek to silence the voice of God by silencing the church. Which brings about a tremendous amount of persecution to Christians, but also that it just brings about a tremendous amount of death, because you don't get to not have a God. You either have the real God or you have your lousy substitute, and your lousy substitutes tend to become quite murderous when they are not given the respect and honor that they think they're due. So when that happens in government, I think we obviously have numerous historical examples of that. It brings a tremendous amount of death and destruction into the world. So not loving God with all your heart will eventually lead to not loving your neighbor as yourself, and will lead to far worse things than just not loving your neighbor, but objectively hating and despising and oftentimes killing your neighbor.
under that praying that you may love your neighbor as yourself, specifically on either side of the political aisle, so to speak, what would you suggest simple prayers like that might be?
Yeah, well, I think simple prayers of that nature would be things like asking God to give you the patience and the compassion to hear people out. I think there's been a precious little listening to people, understanding why people think the way that they do. I know that I was certainly quite guilty of this throughout the election season, especially earlier on. You know, I was not at all a person who took Donald Trump's campaign seriously, and thought and said some certainly unfair and unkind things about people who were supporters of Donald Trump. And the more I began to listen to them, mainly because I had to, because he wasn't going away, the more I came to realize that I wouldn't have said what I'd said if I'd actually given people a fair shake. And I think so kind of on both sides, that when people are legitimately frightened and nervous, it might be at times because people have just, you know, they've drunk the Kool-Aid of hyperbolic talk radio or, you know, online magazines, you know, with their own agendas and whatnot. But at the same time, there were Christians who certainly were afraid that the U.S. government was aiming for their churches and going down a path of taking away their tax exempt status. I think that's certainly still an issue we're going to be facing. But it's, you know, if you give people a fair understanding and a fair hearing, it's understandable why there are a lot of folks who would be genuinely nervous and on edge about any number of policies that Donald Trump might enact. It doesn't necessarily mean one way or another that those policies are wrong, but just the more that we pray for patience, the more that we pray for understanding and compassion, the more we're willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, the more we're willing to put the best construction on things, which really is probably one of the most necessary steps in kind of regaining a sense of national unity and peace, as much as that can be had after an election.
Finally, Hans, with only about 45 seconds here, you say that we ought to pray that we may repent of our own sins. About 40 seconds.
Yeah, well, when nations turn away from God, God has a tendency to tear them to pieces. This has happened historically, empire after empire. We shouldn't think that America is necessarily going to be any different. And I think a lot of people felt like in this election, on either side, whoever would have won, that this could just simply be God's judgment on our nation. And that very well may have been the case. We don't know kind of how these things are going to pan out, but the point is, if you want to avoid the wrath of God, if you want him to take his temporal judgments away, it's not going to do you any good to focus on your neighbor's sins. The main thing for you to focus on is repenting of your own sins, which is what we all ought to do.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist, where he's written a recent column, Four Things to Pray For. Now that the election is over, you will find out about it, and you can read it and find a link to Lutheran Satire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Hadley Arkus. We need to have a conversation, he says. We have been putting the decisions on big issues like life and marriage into the hands of justices and, in effect, giving over the rule of the country to these justices. It's happened on both sides of the aisle, both pro-abortion and pro-life, both pro-marriage and pro-same-sex marriage. We'll talk about that with Hadley Arkus after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Daily worship, historical hymnody, and catechesis interwoven with direct instruction in phonics, traditional math, literature, grammar, history, Latin, and strings. It's part of our daily life at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're located 1 mile off Interstate 55. For more information, visit school.stpaulhamel.org. We would love to share our joy in learning with your child. school.stpaulhamel.org.